From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is away this week. I'm Bob Garfield. The first 100 days of the Trump administration have been something like the White House bowling alley. The Obama administration hurled regulations aimed at protecting the public, and now, almost automatically, in the name of undoing executive overreach, they're rolling right back. The White House has even undertaken to permit no new regulations unless two older ones are erased from the books. The latest rollback concerns online privacy. After a vote in the House on Tuesday, the president's signature will reverse rules that later this year would have governed user data. Namely,
they would have required internet service providers to ask permission if they wanted to track your information. Information including your browsing history, your location, even your app use.
It means your entire digital footprint, any medical questions you might look for answers to online, online searches, even your private emails could be sold to third parties.
Users were given the right to privacy so that their data could not be sold without their permission to advertisers and others by broadband providers. But under the new rules, your ISP, Comcast, Verizon, Cox, AT&T, whomever, can freely sell your data. This week's vote was done under the Congressional Review Act, an obscure and rarely used way to undo agency regulations passed during the waning months of a previous administration. And here's the twist. Under the law, once a new rule is revoked, that agency cannot ever make it, or anything similar to it, again.
Right now, there is essentially no federal regulator for how this data will be handled by ISPs.
Chris Calabrese is Policy Vice President at the Center for Democracy and Technology.
The regulator that governs Google and Facebook, the Federal Trade Commission, has no authority over ISPs. They are barred by federal law from regulating what are called common carriers. So they can't actually regulate what Comcast or Verizon does in this context. So we don't know what consumers are going to be given in terms of rights. We really don't.
The rules that the Obama administration, FCC, imposed haven't even taken effect. But the theory was that our own data, that which we generate, belongs to us. Mm-hmm. That has obviously been flipped. And now the data under this law seems to belong to who is ever carrying it. Kind of like if a trucking company took ownership of the goods that it was driving from state to state. Is there any way to understand this legislation apart from a big fat gift basket to the ISPs?
You know, I think it's hard to really see this as a consumer benefit. The reality is that consumers are constantly asking for more control over their information. They're worried about where it's going. Poll after poll shows that people don't like these take-it-or-leave-it privacy policies, for example. I mean, I think some of the companies present this as a major regulatory burden or saying, you know, we need to be lifted from the shackles of having controls over this information. And so that may be the perspective that the administration thought they were getting into. Well, this will be, you know, one less regulation. I think in this case, this is a regulation that serves a very useful and important purpose and one that people like and agree with.
Matt Stoller, a fellow at the New America Foundation, even found protests bubbling up in the comment section of Breitbart, which is the Trump administration's wheelhouse.
I think most consumers are saying, well, I'd like to be the one who decides what information about me gets out there and who it gets shared with. You could certainly see a benefit to big advertisers. For example, one of the things that advertisers are always looking for is more information on their consumers. They're looking to be able to figure out if when someone saw an ad, where they saw it, and if it led directly to them purchasing a product. It's much easier to draw that kind of value line if you have this kind of detailed viewpoint into people's behaviors and patterns.
Give me an example of the kind of targeted advertising that we might see on the basis of our data being commodified like this.
Well, I mean, one thing that we have seen already and I think could be exacerbated under this is last year, we saw people who entered individual Planned Parenthood clinics being offered anti-abortion ads literally as they were sitting in the clinic. These were geotagged, so they were aimed at people in a particular location. And, you know, that's something that's legal now. ISPs could use that same technology to offer these kind of very distinct and different ads. And probably more troubling, they could collect information about the people who were in those clinics and do other things with it, which I think a lot of people would be very nervous about.
So it's the same technology that allows me to go into a Wendy's or something and automatically have a coupon for a Frosty sent to my phone. Enables advertisers really to peek into parts of my life that I don't prefer to have an open book.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly why we want to give consumers the choice here, because they may well be happy to have that coupon, but still not want to have people record when they're in a doctor's office or a church or a gun shop or anywhere else.
It's not as though I can, you know, go up to a teller window at Comcast and buy your search history, right? Yeah, here's $100. I'd like to know where Chris Calabrese has searched in the last 24 hours, right?
The reality is that's not illegal. I just think they would not do it as a matter of practice. Companies know better than to put their customers' identifiable personal searching habits out online for sale.
So those people who are signing petitions to buy Donald Trump's search history, they're not going to get satisfaction, are they?
You know, that's a good thing. Even if we're frustrated by, you know, Congress's actions or the president's actions, I don't want to live in a world where it's possible to buy my search history online. And I want companies and individuals to think that's a bad thing.
All right. Chris, thank you so much.
Sure. Good to talk to you.
Chris Calabrese is Policy Vice President at the Center for Democracy and Technology.
Coming up, 16 tons of not much at all. This is On the Media.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.